Brendan, I'm gonna cut and re.
They saw a lot of different stuff, you know, they diversify a lot back.
Apparently.
Amy is on her way, she'll be dropping kids off.
Are we dreaming of a new pool this holiday season?
Still nothing? Still nothing, okay, nothing, nothing.
Read the first line.
You go for it, I just won't do anything with you.
Okay. 5:30, I call the meeting to order. First item is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three is my mayoral announcement. Happy birthday to Wes Blakey and happy birthday to Betty McGuire this week. Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the west wall in council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number four is approval of the minutes from the January 5th, 2026 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Roll call. Okay. And the minutes are approved unanimously. Item number five is approval of the claims.
Move to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion and a second. Are there any questions on the claims? Roll call. Okay. And the claims are approved unanimously. Item number six is action on the request of Lucas Munter to consider reducing his sewer bill usage as a result of a waterline pipe break inside his property at 206 South Douglas Street. Water did not go down the sewer drain. Lucas, tell us what you know.
I guess pictures here. It's a mud floor. There's no drain. I've got a picture of the sump pump that I use pumping it out. You guys want to see them?
Yeah, tell us what happened.
I was on vacation and a pipe in the bathroom broke, forcing, got water behind a wall. The wall fell, took out my water heater, water softener, and a rental that we're currently renovating. And so it just flooded the whole basement. And when I got back, Melody called me and said, your water usage is really high. You want to check it? So I went and checked it, and sure enough, it was full. So we pumped, I borrowed a pump from Audi Construction and pumped it out into the grass out in the yard. So
there's your indoor pool then.
Right.
Yeah, so.
That makes sense that you were renovating it. And
that
just
makes sense that.
Okay.
So yeah, and I get the water and everything, but I don't have a, it didn't go down the sewer, so just seeing if we could reverse that or do some sort of change on that.
So what have we done in the past, again, in regard to these, as far as what precedent have we set? I know that we've worked with people with the Veterans Deal and some of those places.
We did the fairgrounds, yep. Or the... We did the same property did we have an issue with before, Casey?
This one, yeah, when Walter Audi had a similar thing happen. I don't know if he came to council.
Maybe not.
He had a few years ago, so he came to us. Yeah, and his staff was there too. They saw it. Yeah, he pumped it out, so he got taken to it.
It's kind of been since, if we can prove that it did not go down a sewer drain, we have waived the sewer part. Yes, the water we've always made them pay for. Same.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yep.
So the water was $510.76. That was for the month that this happened.
Yeah.
And the sewer is How do you do sewer rates?
Sewer was $1,823.46.
And the sewer rate is based upon water usage, right?
Correct.
And nobody was living there at the time?
No.
Okay.
Personally, I'm happy with reversing it. I mean, if you look at the, I mean, there's no water usage months previous, and then all of a sudden it spikes, like, there's nothing there, like, it's, I'm good.
Is there a baseline cost with no water usage?
It's the meter, I mean, yes, there's, so if you would use not a drop of water this next month, you would be charged a water, you did a meter charge for both water as well as sewer, there's a base rate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm okay playing, obviously playing the base rate.
Yes, what is the base rate, do we know?
It's based on your sewer consumption.
Oh.
The previous.
In the past, we have waived like the sewer usage, but left the water usage alone, because you still use the water, but you didn't use the sewer.
To be clear, I was saying waiving the sewer.
Yes.
The entire sewer fee, right? Is that what we've done?
Unless you want to say, accept the base rate of whatever it was the previous.
That's fair.
Whatever you'd paid before, which was probably $25, something like that.
I ain't gonna twist your arm over $25.
I will.
Okay.
I would.
I'll move to waive the sewer charge of $1,823.46 for Lucas Munter at 206 Birch Street.
Second.
The house was 206 South Douglas Street, but.
206 South Douglas, yeah.
Was that the correct amount?
Are we leaving the base on there, or are we taking, because if we waive that full total?
Does the water rate have to be part of that? The motion, part of the motion, just.
The water rate remains the same, right?
Right, so $5,1076.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if that had to be part of it.
I think you just asked that the sewer part be waived, but you're asking for the whole sewer in the amount of $1,800 and.
$23.46.
$23.46.
The entire amount? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. Okay. And the motion is approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucas.
Thanks, Lucas.
Best of luck repairing it.
Yeah.
Item number seven, action on the request to waive the city auditorium rental fee of $150 for the Kiwanis Pancake Feed fundraiser on February 17th, 2026. Dustin Ankeny is here with Kiwanis. Come on up, Dustin.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Tell us your request.
Request was to house the rental fee for the Kiwanis Pancake Feed, which will be on February 17th. And I think it gets started around 5 o'clock. You're all welcome to come. And hoping we can get the fee waived. We've had the deposit on file. It's been there forever, is what I've been told.
Are you having the pancake man again?
We are having the pancake man.
I move to approve the request to waive the city auditorium rental fee in the amount of $150 for the Kiwanis Pancake Feed on February 17th, 2026.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Any questions? Roll call.
Can I have a guess? My wife is in Kiwanis, does it matter?
Yes, you can, unless she's giving you the money.
No, she's not.
Okay, roll call.
Okay.
And the request is approved unanimously.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin.
If you guys have any other questions, we meet at noon on Monday.
Thank you. Item number eight is a public hearing for the redevelopment plan for the Bright Fox Properties redevelopment project. Advertised time is 5:30. I'll open the public hearing.
So this is step five in six steps for the TIF process. You guys only get to hear the TIF process one time. CRA is the lucky group that gets to hear it four times. Planning Commission wants. So everything has been approved up to this point. The TIF amount is $30,000, and this is for 4th and Main, or 401 Main Street, the old mortuary, dental clinic, whatever else.
Apartments.
Right above, yep. Your packet has certain pictures. I have colored pictures that might look a little nicer, but let RJ talk a little bit about the project and what he's planning to do. He's already demolished one house.
RJ, state your name and address for the record.
I am RJ Liska, or Robert Liska. Probably Joe's probably and I live at 1015 Lincoln Street, apartment 2. I purchased this property at 401 Main Street, along with the two houses on 4th Street to its east on October 1st. On October 2nd, I sold one of the houses and then began the process of getting the other one demolished, and that has already happened. With the rest of the building, I'm planning an entirely new facade with new windows and everything to help make it more energy efficient. And
still kind of look like that?
There's been a few tweaks here and there, but that's 95% of the way that. There's also been a few changes to the floor plans on the second floor to accommodate existing plumbing instead of having to redo the whole thing. But that is still probably 95% accurate. Upstairs, I'm planning two more luxury apartments on par with Sanctuary Apartments across the street. And at the ground floor, I'm going to keep open for office space. That is the current plan. And then there is a basement, and I currently have no existing plans for that. Thoughts, but nothing permanent.
How many apartments are up there right now?
Currently it's one big open room.
Okay.
So I've got most of that stuff tore out already, but it was two single bedrooms and one two bedroom, okay. And it's going to be two bedrooms. Each one will be about 1,000 square foot.
Very nice. I think the outside looks fantastic. The new drawing.
Thank
right
you.
Now, it's my
yes,
not my favorite building.
Your least favorite in downtown.
It is. Yeah.
Least favorite. I'm not a fan of the siding in downtown.
Yeah, the vinyl.
The vinyl siding in commercial buildings is just not. Yeah.
I think it still kind of looks like old Main Street, kind of not a super. Like, it's modern and it's updated, but it still, like, fits, like, an old downtown aesthetic, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could say this now, or I could say it in the actual for the resolution, but the Architectural Review Committee has not met yet. The hope is tomorrow. We'll see if we can get that worked in or not. But so any type of a motion you'd make on to approve this, I would have it contingent on the review of the Architectural Review Committee and their approval, which it's Jason, Jill, and Andy Haslett. So they will have to meet before the CRA takes final action next Monday.
I think it looks sharp.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this public hearing? We have Luke.
This is where it comes off the rails.
Luke Virgil, Economic Development. We're strongly in favor of this. It's a great reuse of the building, a great upgrade for the facade, and really excited that RJ is investing in the community.
I agree. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke.
Anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? There being none, I will close the public hearing. Item number 9, Resolution 2026-3, approving the redevelopment plan for the Bright Fox Properties redevelopment project.
I'll introduce Resolution 2026-3 and move for approval contingent on review and approval from the Architectural Review Committee.
Second.
No, sorry, go ahead.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call? Okay. And the resolution has passed unanimously.
One unrelated question. When do you think it's going to be done?
Hopefully I can do an open house by June, please.
Cool.
We'll see.
Any potential tenants for the body part?
Had one, Core Therapeutics, but I think they've gone to another office space in town.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get them in there fast enough, it seems like.
Thank you. Item number 10 is a public hearing for the acquisition of real property from Pinnacle Management LLC, Marion Artisan and Randy Peterson. West 60 feet of Lot 7, Pace addition to the city of Wayne, Wayne County, Nebraska. Approximately 1.65 acres for $30,000. I will open the public hearing.
This is something that has come up. Engineers were designing the Prairie Park ball fields. And we were trying to fit some parking in on the east side of Prairie Park. I guess I can show you the site plan here. And having some issues with, let me get back to this. On the screen here is the lot that we're putting the ball fields on, and then there's this strip of about, it's 50 feet wide down to the Logan. That we were going to utilize for some of the ball field as well as parking, and they seemed like they just could not get it to work with the drainage and everything like that. So I approached Marion Artisan and Randy Peterson to see if they would have any interest in selling part of this land, and they were agreeable to it. For $30,000, it's 1.65 acres. Turns out to be about $18,000 an acre. Thought it's reasonable to what other things we purchased for and what things are going for. It is floodplain, but it's also a small section, so typically you pay more for the smaller amount of land. It's right next to our park, which obviously is advantageous to us. So what this could do is the larger field to the west is, you can call it a pony field. I also could call it a JV field because you can get about 300, right now it's designed for 320-foot fences, which is way bigger than what we have down there now. You could definitely have JV practices that couldn't play. We had a question on, well, will it be a grass infield? At this point, we're not planning on that, but there'll be 90-foot bases. So a bigger field there. Then you've got a regulation-sized softball field to the northeast with 200-foot fences, and then to the southeast was what we've talked about with a field of dreams, a small little field, maybe 180-foot fence or 150-foot fence. Staff, we've talked and said it'd be nice if we could make that at least grade it such that it could be a competition softball field in the future, softball slash younger boys baseball. And still planning for the field of dreams, maybe not a permanent fence, maybe it's an adjustable fence, but have it graded such and the drainage and everything. So if in 15, 20 years you want to put in or need to put in another competition size field, you could do that at that site. So that's kind of the purpose of requesting you at least consider an additional 60 feet of land there.
The 60 feet will give us more room here at the location of these three fields, right?
Yeah, what you see up here is how this 60 feet here is the additional 60 feet. So it allows you to have parking, a wider span of parking. We get some criticism that it's pretty tight at the parks now. This would be, Joel, do you remember if it was 70 or?
Yeah.
It's 70 plus.
That parking is maybe 70 or 75. The other ones are only 60s.
And how they have it configured here, there's like 142 parking spaces. Well, we don't need 142 parking spaces down there right now, but it does give you obviously growth to the south if you ever do want to put in additional parking. My fear is that they're going to use all this parking and not the parking to the west now, but
yeah,
I guess that's a good thing.
That's okay. It keeps the, well, and in between those three fields, you can see we have some area just as a plaza area. Is there a playground in there? Just pop off?
Not here, no. So you could say, well, why don't you just take this little field and cram it into an area closer by? Well, we've got plans for a potential crow's nest at some point with possibly restrooms. You've got batting cages in that area, so just more of that plaza area just gives you a lot more flexibility.
Would it be smart to maybe not put some of the parking next to some of the outfield and, you know, keep that as like a green space or something, since it's going to double the parking? Like, I'm just thinking, like...
So that parking will be the... we're not going to do anything with parking until we have to, and then you're probably only looking at parking for that first field or so. We even talked about going around the outfield in that northeast field. So, but right now that's great green space for warm-up, for hitting fungos, hitting fly balls out in the... for little kids and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of use for that.
The bottom field there, that would be southeast.
The southeast?
Yeah. That's drawn on there as 200. Regular size. So there's a lot of room because that will be a smaller field. That's just what it could be in the future. So there's a lot of area and green space there for, you know, players to warm up and that kind of thing until it would be expanded someday maybe.
If you had the footprint of when we looked at the Field of Dreams, like in Wakefield, you're looking at that fence getting cut off probably about in this area right here. In Wakefield, it's like 130, 135 feet. More of a T-ball or a wiffle ball fence. So.
I'm assuming that they set the price and probably pretty set on what that price is, just with the background. Like, Marion knows what land values are worth.
Yeah. Let's say this. I was pleasantly surprised at the amount that we agreed upon, because I've had other conversations with him on other property around there, and what he did not want cash. He wanted a swap for other land, and I was like, yeah, no, that's...
I would second that.
It's not gonna happen.
He brought it up.
Yeah, well, should have said we had
my number that I told him was higher than that, and when he said it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had said something about anywhere from 50 to 75 feet. We had kind of set on that, he'd like that $30,000 number, so I tried to get it to more like 2 acres, and I was rejected, and so we've kind of done our negotiation, so this is pretty much take it or leave it.
And Joel, do you have any concerns with the small floodplain area and any of this stuff?
No.
Okay.
As long as there's not buildings going to the floodplain, we're good.
I think it makes sense. It gives us a lot more... that we've said flexibility about 1,000 times already, but it gives us a lot more flexibility and lets us actually be able to do parking. I mean, where that cuts off on that right now, what are you supposed to do with that strip that's left over on the side there? You know, it becomes wasted space instead of opportunity.
Or you just are never able to expand your Field of Dreams to a full-size field because it would be parking.
Yep.
Okay.
But just know this plan, and this would come before you, hopefully first meeting in February, so we can bid it out. You may have a footprint of this type of parking. There's no way we're going to put that parking in. This is probably a $4 million rendition, and we have $1 million. So we know we're not getting whatever's on all that's on here.
But I mean, even if you only put 12 spots, you'd only be able to put like one. You wouldn't have those double rows, you know, in there.
Correct. If you don't get
that,
yes,
that's
or you or you utilize the entire outfield or the other space on that northeast field,
correct.
And you don't have the green space for warm ups and things like that.
Yep.
Correct. So,
is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? Anybody else want to comment from council? Okay, I will close the public hearing. Item number 11 is Resolution 2026-4, approving the acquisition of real property from Pinnacle Management, LLC. This is Marion Arneson and Randy Peterson, West 60 feet of Lot 7, Pace Addition to the City of Wayne, Wayne County, Nebraska, for $30,000.
I move to approve the Resolution 2026-4, in the amount of $30,000 for 1.65 acres.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other concerns or questions? Okay, roll call. And the resolution has passed unanimously. Thank you. Item number 12 is Resolution 2026-5, accepting bid and awarding contract on the furnishing of major materials for the Northeast Centennial Road Substation Project for the City of Wayne, Wayne, Nebraska.
Just one second, please.
Get the one in first. You still can't get this. You still can't get this. Audio?
No. I don't know what's going on.
Hello, Wes.
Brandon, hey, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry, we have major technical difficulties here. So.
No, that's okay. This will work.
Okay. Jill, do you want to? You already just did. You already did that part.
I read that.
You did. Okay. Brandon, can you talk a little bit about the three different projects that were that's wrapped into one here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so earlier this month, January 7th, we opened bids for what we are calling the major materials for the new substation. This consists of three types of equipment, first being 69 kV GOAB switches. The second type of equipment was the capacitor voltage transformers, or the CVTs. And the third and final, it was the substation structural steel. So starting off with the GOAB switches, we received four responsive bids, and those range from price of $36,615 all the way up to $48,522. The apparent low bidder for those was Irby Utilities, and they quoted $36,615 for switches manufactured by Cleveland Price. We've used Cleveland Price switches in the past and have had good luck with them, so we had no concerns with that. For the second bid, the CVTs, we had two responsive bids. Those ranged in price from $33,870 up to $35,589.30. The low bidder was Wesco out of Sioux City. They are providing CVTs manufactured by Ritz. We've used Ritz plenty of times in the past, so no concerns on our end with using those CVTs. Third and final bid was for the structural steel. We had four responsive bids on that, ranging in price from $76,642 all the way up to $217,000, $616.60. The low bidder for the steel was Galvanizers, Inc. They're out of Fargo, North Dakota, and we've used them quite a bit on our projects, so no concerns there. All in all, the total value for all these contracts was $147,127. And I guess for reference, our estimate for all the equipment was just over $169,000. So we did come in under the estimate.
Hey, Brandon, what's the lead time on all the equipment, and do you think it'll arrive on time as everything else, or delay construction at all, or how are we looking?
Sure. So the GOAB switches lead time was 50 to 52 weeks, and the CVTs was 18 to 20 weeks, so very short on those, and the steel was pretty close to the GOAB switches, with the steel being delivered on December 1st of this year. And with our current schedule, we don't see or have any concerns with that affecting construction. That should fit right in with our current construction schedule. So, nothing concerning on that end.
Thank you. We'll introduce Resolution 2026-5. Accepting the bid of the GOAB switches for $36,600. Do I have to list each individual item, Amy?
I think you probably should.
Yeah, since with the amounts.
Okay. Yep, the Go Ahead Switch is for $36,615.
That one's for Irby.
To Irby Utilities.
Irby Utilities.
Yep, from Irby Utilities of Rapid City, South Dakota. The capacitor voltage transformers at $33,870 from Wesco of Sioux City, Iowa. And structural steel at $76,642 from Galvanizers Incorporated of West Fargo, North Dakota.
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second for those bids. Any other discussion, questions? Roll call. I think we need one more.
Oh, it was.
Human.
I lost a few brain cells.
All that. And the resolution has passed unanimously.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you.
I'll let you go unless you want to listen in. I'll hang up.
That is all right. I'll let you guys have the privacy.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, yeah.
The privacy is not allowed.
Item number 13 is Resolution 2026-6, acceptance of water sewer and street improvements in the Vintage Hill Fourth Edition subdivision. Is this Joel? Are you going to talk about this?
It's going to be Joel. Yeah, it should be Joel.
Yeah, Joel, tell us about this.
Joel Hanson, Street and Planning Director. Just for your information, under sewer and subdivision agreement, sewer lists both sanitary and storm, so both of those are included under sewer. Casey and I both walked through with the consultant on the project and verified that they met all the specs and that the work was done satisfactory.
All right.
You see that 19 of the 27 lots have at least been bought. Do you know how many houses are put up and finished right now?
Right now, they have duplex and two houses. And then they have not applied for any building. Well, yes, they have applied for some building permits, but I can't tell you how many for sure. I think there was four buildings, I believe, they've applied for permits for next year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll introduce Resolution 2026-6 and move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Okay.
And the resolution has passed unanimously. Item number 14, Resolution 2026-7, directing the city clerk to certify mowing costs to the Wayne County Clerk and Wayne County Treasurer to become a lien on 121 West 11th Street, Zachary Middlestein, $3,000.
We have certified other liens on this property before. This is the property that has since been raised. So you'll have that in the next resolution, but staff definitely recommends certifying those costs.
Are we getting close to being done with this property?
Well, no, because you still have to foreclose on it and sell it.
Just checking to see how far along it is. I feel like this has been going on for.
And we still haven't gotten any response, correct? Has there been any communication back and forth between?
I haven't heard anything in several months. Usually they contact me or Joel.
I think the last time they contacted us was probably through appeals process, isn't it, Joel? Yeah.
And then the court system.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because that, I think, was after that.
I knew it had been radio silent for a bit. I was just trying to get a gauge.
I know that the person who was interested in buying the house from them, they wouldn't respond to him either, so.
Gotcha, okay.
So these liens are just when it gets sold, held against it?
So when we foreclose against the liens that we have, in order for them to purchase it back, for somebody to come bid on it, we want to make sure that all of the liens are included in the opening bid.
And if we happen to be that bidder, we would.
It comes back to us.
We would eat these costs.
With that in mind, I'll introduce Resolution 2026-7 and move for approval.
How much money?
Oh, in the amount of $3,000, excuse me.
Four.
For mowing costs. And to become a lien on 121 West 11th Street.
You're good, Parker. Thanks.
All
Second.
It's like, I'll read the whole thing.
Yeah, I do it every time.
I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. And the resolution has passed unanimously. Item number 15, resolution 2026-8, directing the city clerk to certify raising costs to the Wayne County clerk and Wayne County treasurer to become a lien on 121 West 11th Street, Zachary Middlestein, 23.
Milstein.
Mildenstein. Mildenstein. I'm sorry. I see it now. $23,459.
Same thing. This is actually cost of us going out and having it demolished.
I think they did a really nice job. Like, it filled in really well. It looks better as a grass lot than what it did before. So I was kind of surprised at how quickly, like, they had everything down, filled in, and, like, just kind of cleaned up and buttoned up when it was all going on. I drive by it.
We'll probably have to fine grade it a little bit better to be able to mow it. I know Casey, his group actually, you dug the sewer line, is that right? Or did you cap? You abandoned the water line, okay. They did the sewer? Okay.
We helped, but yes.
Okay.
Did this house have asbestos siding?
Yes, it did. That's part of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Siding or?
Yes.
Was it the siding?
Siding
as well as inside. I think the kitchen had some.
Mm-hmm.
I'll introduce resolution 2026-8 to certify raising costs for the Wayne County clerk, Wayne County treasurer to become a lien on 121 West 11th Street for $23,459.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Roll call. And the resolution has passed unanimously. Item number 16, resolution 2026-9, approving and adopting the policy for the Facade Improvement Grant Program Guidelines. Wes.
This is, we're calling it the FIG, the Facade Improvement Grant. And this was, the council allocated $25,000 the last, when we approved the budget, to go towards businesses, not just on Main Street, but businesses in general, to do facade improvements. Capping that at $5,000 per grant, and they must match that one for one. So it has to be a $10,000 project then. The guidelines were, Luke did the guidelines for us, so thank you, Luke. He revised a couple things that I had suggested, and then we missed one, Luke.
Wow.
The $5,000 cap,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe is in there. Austin brought that up, so. If you guys want to approve this, please also amend
it. Yeah, there's only an example.
There was an example of $5,000, yeah.
And
so
not
we
the cap.
Just to say, please make sure that it's a $5,000 cap on this. The background or the going forward, what this process would mean is council only has control over how much you allocate per year or if you allocate anything per year. The rest of it would all get into the hands of Wayne America and the Architectural Review Committee, because keep bringing the Architectural Review Committee up. Anytime city funds go into something, we want the Architectural Review Committee to take a look at the project, or at least that's what the previous councils have wanted. So that's why we keep doing that. If you want to change something with that, you always can, but this has that in the guidelines. And then Luke will also create an application form for the program.
That $25,000, was that reallocated from the Keno fund?
Yes, I believe that's where it came from. But again, that is for till September 30th, and then it would have to be reallocated or something else. It's not a carryover, so if it doesn't get used this year, it doesn't sit in a fund, and then Luke can market it for another. If you allocate another $25,000 and nothing gets done this year, does not mean you have $50,000 in that fund. It is each year, if it's not used, it goes. It's not lost. It's just not. You just have to reallocate that.
I bet we use it every year.
I hope
we use
it.
I would bet that we would find, like.
I hope so. Yeah.
It's grant money, and
yeah.
Will there be a list of places that you would approach first?
Is it first? Yeah. Is it first come, first serve?
Well, I'm not planning to approach anybody. I mean, I'm not planning to approach anybody.
I'm just talking about marketing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean.
Well, I think of the new salon that's downtown. And again, it's any business in Wayne. It doesn't have to be downtown. It could be on 7th Street or it could be.
I bet your mayor will have some input on that. We'll help people to the application.
I would think that.
Yeah, I was just saying, there's certain places that you could suggest need a little more facade help than others.
I just think like with the salon going downtown, that like it was kind of surprised on her that the recommendation was to have an awning on that building, and that awning probably added $5,000 to $10,000 more to her plan than what she expected, so.
This would be a great program for us, like an awning or a front door or some windows or, yeah.
Fresh coat of paint even. It doesn't have to be $5,000, you know?
No, it's up to.
Yeah, up to, and it's a match, so, yeah.
I mean, if you need $600 just to paint the entire front of your thing.
I think this kind of improvement to the city of Wayne just makes a overall improvement for the whole community and general, so.
So then the final approval will be made by the board of Wayne America, and they meet once a month, so they'll, you know, it won't be on demand, if you will. There'll be some lead time.
Brittany's on that board.
Brittany and Parker are both on that.
Yeah.
That being said, I would introduce resolution 2026-9 and move for approval with the stipulation that the guidelines be amended to reflect a $5,000 cap per application.
I will second if that's good enough for what we're looking for.
It's good enough for me. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Roll call. Oh, any more discussion? Sorry.
Whoops.
Roll call. Thought we were done.
Okay.
And the resolution has passed unanimously. Item number 17, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.